If you want to read along with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I've got three short verses. We've been going through 1 Thessalonians and we are near the end. And it seems like a rapid fire list of commands that Paul gives us here at the end of this chapter, at the end of this letter. And some, when you pull verses apart, try to look at these as standalone things, but we see some threads connecting these thoughts. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, as Paul is drawing to a close, he tells these Christians, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And let's pray before we go further today. Our Father, it is a privilege and a blessing to be here. It's a privilege to be with people who've gathered today to honor you and to hear your word, for us to come together to pray and to sing, to hear your word, Lord, to fellowship with your people, recognizing, Lord, how much we need your strength and your grace today. And I pray, God, for just wisdom from above. I pray for the help from your Spirit to be able to deliver this word, that it would speak deeply into our hearts, Lord. You know what the needs are today, and I pray for your grace to be able to deliver what's needed. And I pray, Lord, as well, that I might not lose sight of the power that makes these words possible, and that you would help me, Lord, to point above everything else, to point to Jesus Christ and what he has done, Lord, for he's the one who makes these words ring true. He's the one who makes these words, these commands possible in every circumstance, in every situation, and we thank you for him. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach this today with gospel clarity and gospel certainty. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Pretty short, pretty sweet, pretty to the point. And this isn't the only place you find these words, these sentiments, these expressions in Scripture. Paul writes about it in other letters to other churches. These concepts are in the Old Testament. It's a pretty common theme and a pretty common message. And as I was trying to pray and I'm asking God for help, I don't think we can preach this right without showing how this is rooted in the very gospel itself that we preach. I don't think I don't think this is possible. I don't think what God is asking of us here is possible apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I asked my dad to bring something in today, and I want to put it up here and use it as a bit of an illustration. Hopefully everybody can see well enough. No doubt you've seen these things before. These are called, this is a perpetual motion device. And the idea is you start it clicking, right? And these things will just keep going. Now, being an engineer, that's what I am by education. I at least used to understand the physics behind what's going on here. You have mass and you have acceleration. You have these things going back and forth and hitting each other. And when you first learn these concepts, you know, at the basic level, when you're studying those, either high school or college, you know, you start looking at these things and it should go on forever, because you're simply transferring the force through the objects one to the other. And so in a perfect system, in a perfect world, these things would keep going, but you've noticed that they've not. And now all of a sudden we've got five balls that just kind of seem to be swinging in harmony. Some of the energy that I introduced to this equation is still there, but no longer is it transferring from ball to ball like it was. It's slowed down. And it's stopping. And if I quit shaking the pulpit, eventually it will get completely and totally still. And I think that is really a good illustration for us when we think about what the Lord is commanding for us here. Because if you look at the words, not just rejoice and not just pray and not just give thanks, but I want you to look at the words that come after them. Look at that with me. Rejoice. Always pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Always without ceasing in every circumstance. This is talking in a sense about a perpetual motion that's supposed to exist in a Christian's life. When we look at this system right here, and I started it going, and I pulled the first ball back, you know, and the distance here, I mean, ideally, the distance that I pull this one back when I click it, it will go out exactly that same distance on the other side as these things move. But we've already seen that this is in just a few seconds, a minute or so, it's going to stop. Why? Well, because of friction, because of gravity and other forces that are also acting upon these balls. And even though we've got it moving, there are other things that are pulling this down, right? That are slowing this thing down, that are drawing it down to a place of stillness. And the same thing is very true in the Christian life. I mean, those of us who remember, you know, and you ought to, if you've been born again, you can recall a time when you met the Lord, when His presence was very real to you, when your sins were forgiven, you know, and there is such peace and such joy in that moment. And people, you know, you think in that moment, man, I could never be down again. I could never be discouraged again. I mean, I have so much joy, so much peace. Just like the energy introduced in this system, but we find in this world that we can get drugged down again. Because there are forces acting upon us, the friction, the gravity of life in this world. If we could take this thing perhaps into outer space and although I'm not quite sure it would work there because we wouldn't have the whole gravity thing helping us. But perhaps one of those perpetual spinning devices, right? That just spins. Perhaps you could take that up to space where you don't have gravity impacting it, you know. If you're able to minimize the friction, that thing could just keep going on and on and on. You know, that it works that way in an ideal system. But my friends, we don't live in an ideal system. We live in a real world where there's sin and there are the consequences of sin all around us. And not only do we sin, but we are sinned upon. We are sinned against. There is sickness and death, part of the curse of this world. And these things pull on us. They drag down our systems. And we find that it is hard to obey this command. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, because so many of these things in the real world drag us down. But what we find to be true with this system right here is this will sit here. This will stay here. This will not move unless it is acted upon by an external force. Somebody has to pull the ball back. and get it clicking, right? Somebody's got to do something because it's not just going to start up on its own. And we find that to be very true of the Christian as well. We need to be strengthened. We need an external force to be acting upon us to keep these things moving. And one of the great things about this passage that we read here, and as we dig into it a little bit more, is that this passage is not just written for the mountaintop. The good days. The days when the sun is shining and you feel good and everything's going all right and you've got enough money in the bank and, you know, all circumstances are good. This passage is not just written for the mountaintops, my friend. This passage is written for the valley, because if it's only about the mountaintops, you wouldn't need it. Who needs to tell you to rejoice on the day of your salvation? Did you need a command to rejoice when the Lord saved your soul? Did somebody have to say, you need to be happy now? No, you were. You need to think about great days of your life. You know, great accomplishments or successes you've enjoyed. Did somebody have to tell you to be happy? No. It just happens. This passage is not just written for the mountaintop. It's written for the valleys. It's written for the difficult days. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. What does it mean to rejoice? Rejoice simply means to experience happiness and joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, thankfulness, you know, peace, and all those fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God. I mean, the Spirit of God is that external force which can work internally in us to move us to have joy, right? It's not meant to be fake. It's not meant to be forced in the sense of you try to force yourself. It's meant to be real and sincere. And for our joy to endure despite the circumstances, you know, the always, at all times, then it's got to be rooted in something that doesn't change. If you're going to have joy at all times and you're going to be faced in this world with various gravity and friction which try to slow you down, which seek to diminish your joy needs to be rooted in something that doesn't change if it's going to endure. Let me remind you of something that Jesus told his disciples. He had sent them out to do some mission work, and he gave them power to cast out demons and to go and to proclaim the gospel. And so they went out and they started speaking and proclaiming the message of Jesus and casting out demons and healing. And they came back to Jesus and they were so excited. They were filled with joy. They said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. And they were so happy. And Jesus told them, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't let your joy, your deepest joy, come from the fact that right now the demons flee at your command. Let your joy be rooted in this, that your name has been recorded in heaven on the Lamb's Book of Life. That when that day comes that you stand before the Lord, if you've been saved, if you're a child of God, that's why I say this is gospel rooted, okay? That if you know the Lord, on that day when you stand before God, He will welcome you. He will recognize you as one of His own. And so Jesus says, let your joy be found in that. Why? Because it doesn't change. If you know God, if you have a relationship with God, my friend, that is something that cannot be taken away from you. We read from Romans 8 on Wednesday night, that wonderful passage of encouragement, you know, and it doesn't matter who's against you, height, depth, demons, whatever, no one can ever pull you away from the love of God. No one can ever pull you away from the love of God. Because there are days, as his disciples would find, that the demons would not listen to them. Remember the man who came to Jesus and said, "Your disciples couldn't cast the demon out of my son"? There would be days when the demons would not flee in front of them. There would be days when they would not be able to overcome the obstacles in a moment. But it would be a journey. There would be days when they would not be received when they would come into a city, but rather would be rejected. Even in service, in faithful service to Jesus, the demons would not always be subject to them. But one thing that would not change is that their names would remain in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Jesus said, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. You see, the Old Testament and the New Testament talk about some reasons that believers have to rejoice that aren't tied to this world. 1 Chronicles 16:31 says, "Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." My friends, I know a lot of people feel a lot of different things about what's been happening in our country over the last 4 years. Lots of different feelings about all the politics, and lots of different feelings about what happened in the election most recently, right? But I'll tell you, there is one who was not up for election. His name was not on the ballot. And even if somebody put his name on the ballot, it wouldn't matter how many votes he got. And that is our God who reigns, who has reigned and been in control in every circumstance, in every situation. Even King Nebuchadnezzar back in the days of Babylon, a man who exercised total and complete control, God humbled that man to the place where he recognized that God and his kingdom are in control. And I can't do anything about it. And my friends, that has not changed today. And that is something Christians can rejoice in. I mean, he's still on the throne. He is still in charge. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice not just that he's on the throne, but rejoice in who he is. He is a God who can do anything. He is a God who is compassionate. He is a God who can take even the most difficult and darkest of circumstances and turn it into something good. Rejoice. My friend, if you know the Lord, you have an audience before the throne of grace and mercy that you can come to Him anytime with anything. And who He is has not changed. Matthew 5, Jesus tells his disciples, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Even when we suffer persecution. Now, what's the difference between persecution and suffering? Well, persecution is voluntary. Suffering. Voluntary suffering because you are willing to be faithful to Christ even when others would try to draw you away from Him. Jesus says, when you suffer persecution for voluntarily suffering on my account, rejoice because of what's ahead for you. Rejoice in what's ahead for you. Paul writes in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. I don't know if you've ever thought about how significant it is to have hope. To have hope. Like an expectation. A firm and solid expectation of what lies ahead. For the one who knows Jesus Christ, my friend, your best days are ahead of you. They're not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. Doesn't matter how old you get. Doesn't matter how weak your body gets. Doesn't matter all that you've lost in this life. All that you've surrendered. All that has been taken away. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And you have a solid hope. An eager expectation of what is coming. And my friends, again, that is rooted, all these things are rooted in the gospel, in knowing Jesus. And because of those things that do not change, no matter what circumstances, what gravity and what friction seeks to slow us down, when those things are in our sights and we can see those things with clarity, we can rejoice always. The next command here is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. This is one of the reasons I say this passage is rooted in reality too. It's not pretending that every day is a sunny day. It's not pretending that everything is easy, because it's not. Paul's writing to a people who had been persecuted, who had seen death, who had seen the loss of people in their congregation. We don't know all the reasons, but they knew suffering. And Paul's instruction to them in the midst of saying, rejoice and be great, be thankful, he says, pray without stopping. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're always trying to be kind of psychologically in some state of prayer? Because I got to sleep at some point. So do you. And if we try to beat ourselves up and think that we're always supposed to be in some sort of mode of prayer, although I think it's always good to be able to just be very flexible and frequent in our prayers, I don't think it's about speaking about constantly being in prayer. But it's this very consistent message of the Old and the New Testament that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus told his disciples the parable about that woman who kept going to the judge to demand justice. And even though the judge didn't want to do it because she wouldn't give up, he eventually gave her what she wanted. And we're told to have that kind of persistence in prayer. And I believe that's the same message Paul is giving us here. Pray without ceasing. If you've got a burden, if you've got a request, if you have a friction in your life that is bringing you down, if you have a gravity in your life that is diminishing your joy, we are to bring these things to God. And not just one time, but we are to continue to bring it to the Lord. To be persistent in prayer. Look at this passage with me. This was so profound. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7. What a great passage. It says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord uses the example there of watchmen who were meant to watch over the city and to alert the people of any danger. And their job was not to be quiet, but to cry out when there was a problem. And then he changes the message here a little bit, and he applies it, and he says at the end of verse 6, "You who put the Lord in remembrance." What's he saying? God has made promises. God has made commitments that he aims to keep. And even though God has made promises, we are still to go and to pray to him and ask of him according to his promises, according to what he has said he will do, and ask him to bring it about. And there's example after example after example in the scriptures of just that. God has said he will do something, and there were people who were told to cry out to God until he did it. And that's exactly what he's saying. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. God is saying, wear me out. You got a burden? You got a concern? Do you have a friction? Do you have something in your life that is bringing you down? Bring it. Come with it. Don't stop. Take no rest. Give me no rest until I bring about what I have promised to accomplish. God's not saying, come on, just leave me alone. I heard you. God is saying, bring it. Give me no rest. And that is exactly what Paul is saying in the midst of rejoice always and give thanks. He's saying, keep coming to God with your burdens. Those things that stand in the way of you doing this, keep taking it to him. Paul writes to the Romans, be constant in prayer. Because that very act of prayer brings it to God, but going to God in prayer is something that also transforms us. It also transforms us. No greater example of this than Jesus Christ himself on the night of his betrayal. As he prayed, and Jesus was a man of prayer, and he prayed to the Father. What was it that was discouraging Jesus? He knew what was coming. He was distressed by what was coming. The Bible says that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, signifying the great stress that was upon him. And we know what he prayed because it's recorded. He prayed to the Father, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. In that prayer, he prayed for God to, the Father, to allow this situation to pass if it would be his will. But if it was not his will, he was praying for a surrendered heart, and for the strength to accomplish what he needed to do. And though it was God's plan for him to walk through that valley, my friend, it was not pointless. It was not purposeless. There was more that was accomplished through that sacrifice that he made than all the other miracles that he had accomplished during his ministry. And my friend, that prayer to God for help, that cry for help, not only gave him a willing heart, but gave him a heart and an attitude that was strengthened to endure that difficulty that he had to face when he took upon him the sins of the entire world and died for us, but to die with dignity, to die with love, to die giving hope to one of the thieves who were on the cross next to him and turned to him for salvation and forgiveness. to finish the work that he was called to do. And then 3 days later, he was given the strength to rise again and to usher in joy, permanent joy for all who trust in him. We are called to pray without ceasing. And finally, to give thanks in all circumstances. Perpetually. Say, well, all circumstances? Every circumstance? I mean, right now there's a lot of friction. There's a lot of gravity. I don't see a lot of things to give thanks about right now. Even when the darkness seems overwhelming, if you know the Lord, there is light. There is light. We need to turn and look to that light. You see, Paul writes to the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He simply says here, pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. But when he unfolds that to the Philippians, he recognizes, he acknowledges that we have a tendency to worry. We have a tendency to be anxious. We have a tendency for our thoughts to be bogged down and cluttered with all sorts of what ifs, this and that's and the others that are out ahead of us. Uncertainties in our lives. Things over which we wish we can control, but oftentimes we feel as if our hands are tied and there's nothing that we can do, and we can become overwhelmed and bogged down in all of these things. And here, Paul simply writes to the Thessalonians, pray about these things and give thanks in every circumstance. And when he tells the Philippians, he says, when you bring your prayer to God about this circumstance, also bring with it thanksgiving. Because he's telling the Christian that we need to look to and to acknowledge the light. We need to look to and rejoice in those things that have not changed. Even though the right now is difficult, there are things that have not changed, that are good, that are solid, that are enduring, that will never leave us or forsake us. And we do have some things to be thankful for, because as we pray about these burdens, thank God you can pray about these burdens. Thank God you have someone to go to with these burdens. And we're told that when we come to Him with thanksgiving, that His peace that passes all understanding will encompass our hearts and our minds. I'll be a little honest and transparent. I had one of those experiences here within the last week or so. Down in Missouri, and taking Josiah to go look at schools, and he connected there with the coaches and the team, and he's very excited, and he told them, you know, we gave him our green light. Go ahead and make your commitment. You know, if you want to do that, go ahead and do that. And he did. And we felt it was, you know, the right thing for him. And he was excited. And then Mary and I left. And left him there with them. As we're going to have to do for good here before too long. And we drove off and we went to Bass Pro. And maybe that's kind of meaningless to you. But if you're familiar with Springfield, Missouri, and you know what Bass Pro is there, you know it's a pretty cool place. It's like Disneyland for hunters and fishermen. And went to a little cafe there. And I'll be honest. I felt anything but peace. I knew what we're doing was right. I knew I was doing all that I should be doing. But I could start to list, if you wanted to sit here and listen to it long enough, all of my fears and concerns. And there are many. There are many. And they're real. They're not fake. They're real concerns. As Mary and I sat in the cafe, we had prayer. And in praying and just bringing it to God, the reality of all that was there and all that's in front of us and all that scared us, but also recognizing that what we were doing, you know, God had been faithful. God has been faithful. And that we were trusting Him in this and with this and with Josiah. We're not trusting Him to a coach. Or we're not trusting Him to a school. We're trusting Him to God. And I will tell you that God gave me peace. And I have felt much better about it since then. And I'm not telling you that I'm not going to get anxious again. I'm not going to get concerned. I'm not telling you that bad things can't happen or won't happen. But I believe that God's going to have His hand on it. And I'm going to continue to pray. And I believe God can very, in a very real way, continue to bring that same peace. Because even as I prayed about all the things that I was afraid of ahead of me, I could not be honest and pray to God without looking back and considering all the ways that God has been faithful to this point. I mean, one of the concerns, and I think most of y'all know this, I mean, he has type 1 diabetes. He's insulin dependent. He's wearing a pump right now that's delivering insulin into his body. He's had that since he was 4. Now he's going to go off and compete and be trained harder than he ever has. And sometimes he has days where he has to sit out of practice and all sorts of things because of his blood sugar going low. And here's people who don't know how to deal with this. He doesn't have mom and dad at home to take care of these things. What if, what if, what if? But I'll tell you, he's now almost 18 years old and he's never been hospitalized. Not that being hospitalized is bad, but I look at that and I say, God has helped us in so many ways. So many things are beyond my ability to do anything. I mean, the middle of the night, having lows. And God preserving His life. And God, I can't look forward without looking back. If I'm going to be dishonest with God, He who has been faithful, what's going to change? Is God going to become unfaithful? And even if difficulties come, is God less? I've got to praise Him. I've got to praise Him. I've got to give God the glory. And there are many other things, even more important things, that we're praying for Him. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. It is befitting for a Christian to praise God. We are to be the people who see the unseen, who walk through this life in a world where people do not see or acknowledge God, but we who know Him, we know He's real. We know that we know that He is real and that He's working and He's doing things, and He's not stopped, and He's still on the throne, and we are called to be a people who point out what's God doing. I went to the DMV, well, one of those, not quite DMVs, but they do the job much faster than people at the DMV, getting plates for the car that Grace and Josiah are going to have in Missouri, and there's a big mess with that, and all came together, and the lady told me, I was getting ready to throw away this paperwork to get your title and registration, and something made me look, you know, in this pile here when you called, and I looked and I found it. And I looked at her, I said, well, I'm going to give glory to God for that. And she kind of looked at me and she said, yeah. I said, okay. Now, I don't do that like I should. Don't make me look like I'm always real spiritual and doing that, but God's been getting on me because I've not been doing that like I should. So that's, thank God for one little step, right? One little step. But we're called to be that kind of people who point Him out. Who point Him out. And not in a fake way, but in a real way. Because that's what it means to know Him. Because He says, and in concluding all this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without seeking, give thanks in all things. This is your mission. We are given this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, we read in 2 Corinthians 4. So that the power, as this jar, our lives, gets battered, the power of what holds us together is clear that it is beyond us. How is it that we could keep going, that we could still have joy, that we could still be thankful, even in a difficult day? It's because we're being acted upon by an external force. Or in the case of one who's been saved, by an internal force. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And my friends, that is your mission, if you're a child of God, is to let the light of God and the praise of Jesus ring forth from us. There's gravity. There's friction. We're not pretending that there isn't. But there is a force that can overcome those things and make joy and thanksgiving real in our lives. And what a blessing. What a blessing. What a joy. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I will say, rejoice.